Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Wednesday, February 19th. Have you ever felt like you were all alone? If so, today's message will help you appreciate Christ's promise to be every believer's constant companion.
Now, one of the things that causes us pain and causes us oftentimes to be disappointed is what I want to talk about in this message. It's something we all have to face in life. Because, you see, all of us have relationships. We have friendships. Friendships are extremely important. In fact, the longer you live, the more important they are, because if you'll think about it, the longer you live, the less time you have to build new friendships. So you better take care of the ones you have. Somebody oftentimes says, well, you know, you can always get new friends. No. You may be able to get new, some sort of relationships, but true, genuine friendship has to be built. And it's built on honesty and integrity and openness and truthfulness with one another. And that doesn't happen overnight. If you believe everything you hear from somebody the first time you ever hear it, then you have a problem. And so the truth is, friendship's important. Now, what kind of friend are you? I want to give you four categories. And in these four categories, you can be in any one of them, or you can travel the whole group, and that is friends that delight us. We love being around them. Friends that are dedicated to us. They're reliable. They are the kind that's there when you and I need them. They're trustworthy, faithful. Then there are friends that disappoint us. And that can happen even to somebody who at first greatly loved us. They disappoint us. And then finally, they desert us. So if you ask yourself the question, which one of those and how many of those fit me? You're the kind of friend that they just sense something in you they like. You delight your friends and you're dedicated to them. Or do you disappoint them by being frivolous and, shall we say, selfish and indifferent and careless and giving them a little time? Or are you the kind of friend who would desert your friends if things got to going a little tough for you? Well, the passage of Scripture I want us to deal with deals with the Apostle Paul in a season of time when he feels and has felt very deserted by his friends. So in this passage of Scripture, I want you to think about yourself and think about your friendships and how you relate. Think about the people that you think are your friends, or maybe you'd have to think, as all of us do at times, people that you thought were your friends, but they weren't. People who move from being dedicated to disappointing you and finally deserting you. And you may feel a little pain this morning. You may feel a little hurt as you go back and recall some of the people who've been in your life that you really thought were true, genuine friends and how they just walked off and deserted you. And they never said why, they just disappeared. We've all had that, and I think any pastor will tell you there have been those in his life, and I can think in my own life, fellows that I've genuinely loved, given of myself to them, helped them in any way I possibly could, gave them time and gave them things that I thought would be of help to them, walk away and totally disappoint you because, not because you needed something, but because you believed in them and because you really and truly, sincerely wanted to be a friend. So what you may recall in the midst of this message is a little bit of pain yourself. So what I want to talk about here is, so think about the Apostle Paul. How do we deal with this? And what can we expect? So if you'll turn to 2 Timothy, and if you will look, if you will, in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, and let's read this passage, and then we'll give you a little background as we go along. Very important. What you'll notice in Paul's epistles, he had lots of friends. In fact, in the book of Colossians, in the last chapter, fourth chapter, he mentions 9 of his friends. In this fourth chapter, he mentioned 6 of his friends. So friendship was a great important thing in his life. So let's begin in verse 9. He's writing this to young Timothy. He says to him, make every effort to come to me soon, which means don't delay, come speedily, give it your best. Come as soon as you possibly can. There's a reason. For Demas, one of his servants and friends, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful for me for service. but Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments, would be like leaving our Bible somewhere. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against them yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first defense, that is when he was in prison before and being tried, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and will bring me safely to his kingdom, his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, what is all that about? Well, let me say, first of all, the Apostle Paul here is writing to Timothy, and what I want us to see here is this, that there are times in our life when our friends will fail us. Now, the Apostle Paul is in prison, and he's facing the Roman jury, and he knows that more than likely they're going to execute him. So he's facing death, and he knows he's facing death, and he's recalling as he thinks back over his first trial, no one was there to support him and to help him. And now he comes again to a second trial, and the only person there is Luke. And when I think about the Apostle Paul, of all people who would be alone, after all he had taught and all he had shared with those around him, and yet the Scripture says he was deserted. If I were to ask you, for example, if you had known the Apostle Paul, would you have shown up and at least said something to him, or would you have written the words? No, listen to what happens. Those who were the closest to him deserted him. Now, I want to show you something. I want you to turn to the first chapter of 2 Timothy and look, and let's go through a few of these verses, because this was a major issue with him. Here he was, having given his life to all of these men. And listen to what he says in verse 15. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Look in chapter 4, verse 10. He says, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. And if you look in the 16th verse, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. Now, I want you to notice something. In the 27th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus is on the cross, and you remember what he said, he said, my God, why have you what? Forsaken me. That word forsaken in the Matthew chapter 27 is the same Greek word. It's translated forsaken there. Translated deserted. It's the same word. Jesus was saying, my God, why have you deserted me? Or Paul could have said he'd been forsaken. He uses this. It's the same Greek word, deserted. So he was feeling this. He was feeling it very, very deeply down inside, that here he was coming to the end of his life. What had he done from the day he was saved on the Damascus Road? He had given himself to Jesus Christ, spending time in Arabia, letting God, getting his theology straightened out, having been an Old Testament scholar himself. And so he gave his life in doing what? Traveling the Mediterranean world of his day, establishing churches, not buildings, establishing the churches, the people in Thessalonica and in Philippi and Corinth and Ephesus and many other little places. He spent his whole life. And in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he talked about how many times he was beaten and stoned and imprisoned and his concern for the churches. In other words, that little brief biographical sketch, you can think, how could any man survive all of that? And now here he is coming to the end of his life, and what? Nobody shows up. Nobody's there to support him. Nobody's there to bear testimony for him. Nobody's there to witness for him. What happened to all of these people who found Jesus really as a result of his work, whether it was personal one-on-one or whether it was a matter of finding Christ through one of those little churches, little groups of people? Where is friendship? What happens when people fail us? And what I want you to see here is this, that a man like the Apostle Paul was failed. other words, his friends failed to be reliable, failed to show up, failed to be supportive when he so desperately needed them. And the same thing can happen to us. People that you think are your friends, people that you have trusted in, people that you've given to, people that you've supported, people that you've helped, prayed for, loved, and sometimes maybe sacrificed for, what happens? They can just walk off and desert you. So when I come to that, I think about the reasons people fail to be true, genuine friends. Why do they fail? Well, there are a number of reasons. You might want to jot some of these down and ask yourself the question, for example, if any of these fit you. And one of the reasons is that a person sometimes may feel inadequate. They want to help you in this difficult time, but they don't know how. So I can understand that sometimes that may be true, that a person doesn't know how to be the kind of friend to you that you need going through this time. Sometimes they don't want to be identified with you. And I've been through this in my life, and I remember when I first came to First Baptist and the church was calling me, we had this big battle and so forth, and it was in the newspapers and on it went, and it was all over. The pastors knew about it and so forth. This was a very interesting thing. It was a well-known battle all over the Southern Baptist Convention and lots of other places. In that battle, when I really needed someone to stand with me, two pastors wrote me a letter. No one else. No one said, we're praying for you. No one said, we know you're going through a tough time. Nobody said a word. Not one single other person wrote me a letter or called me to say we're standing with you. You know why? Because they didn't want to be identified. And here's the reason they didn't. I understand this. Because, well, suppose I lost, then they would have identified with a loser. What kind of friendship is that? That is not friendship. You say, well, does it hurt? Why, sure it hurts. Anybody who says it doesn't, not telling the truth. For example, if your husband or your wife walked away from you, would it hurt? Yes. If your children walked away and said, you know, this is it, I don't want to be a part of this family, would that hurt you? Yes. And oftentimes it is our denial of hurt, our denial of pain, listen, that keeps us from being able to be healed of it. Two things. If you deny it, you won't be healed. And secondly, if you get bitter and unresentful, unforgiving, you won't be healed. And so this whole issue is a major thing. Then I think about other reasons, for example, and that is that sometimes people are jealous. And if they're jealous, they're not going to want to help you. Sometimes they're just selfish. They don't want to give you time. They don't want to take the time to give you a call. They don't want to take the time to say, well, let me tell you that I'm praying for you. In other words, where is friendship? Where is true, genuine, dedicated friendship? The Apostle Paul was going through the most difficult time in his life, and he said, everybody is gone, and as I look around, the only person I see is Luke, my favorite physician. Sometimes people, listen, when you go through a difficult time, you know what they do? Claim to be your friend, but instead of understanding you, they want to judge you. And they judge you, so that eliminates them having a responsibility to help you. It's all, listen to this. When people respond that way, the problem is they have a character flaw. Not in the person who's going through the difficulty, but in the person who claims to be a friend, but does not have the courage to stand with you. Who does not have the love to be supportive and reliable and being there for you. And so the Apostle Paul was going through all of that. And if you think about all those years of his life, he invested in those men. He'd taken Demas, for example, on a missionary trip, and he checked out and got scared, and he left. And here he is at the end of his life, second time he's before trial, nobody. In fact, before, when he was in the first trial, some of those pastors on the outside, they were being critical of him instead of standing there being supportive of him. I don't know who your friends are, but if you're a genuine friend, you're a true friend, reliability, being there, helping them and supporting them and praying for them and undergirding them and loving them, that's what friendship's about. If you don't have any of that in your life, you're not a friend no matter who you are. And oftentimes people who claim to be our friends want something. That is not friendship. That's not friendship. If that's their motivation. If they want to give something, that's friendship. And you know what happens when you give? You receive in return. And so oftentimes we are very, very hurt and pained because of those things. Now, second thing I want to say is that forgiveness is absolutely necessary. Forgiveness is absolutely necessary and must prevail in spite of our hurts. Now, his friends deserted him. But it's interesting what the Apostle Paul said, because as you look at what happened and feeling the pain and so forth, all the things that, in other words, he could have said, you know what, that bunch of scoundrels, they didn't, you know, he didn't say any of that. But here he is in the most difficult moment of his life, and he's standing alone. So what's the right response? Well, when I look at this passage and see what he said, look at that 16th verse again in the fourth chapter. Listen to what Paul said. He said, at my defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. Now, why do you think he got that? What did Jesus say to his persecutors? What did he say? Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. But I'll tell you, he may have remembered that. But this I know he remembered, absolutely. Because it was Saul of Tarsus, Paul, who became the apostle, who stood by and watched over the cloaks of the men who stoned Stephen to death. And the last thing Stephen said is, Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. And now here is the Apostle Paul. And his friends have deserted him. So what is he doing? Here's what he's doing. He's practicing what he preached. And he's able to forgive them. If you hold unforgiveness towards someone who mistreats you, then there's no healing of that. And it's very evident here what he says. He says, I'm not going to hold it against them. In other words, and he says to Timothy, don't count it against them. Now, sometimes we might be prone to say, well, I'll tell you one thing. If you ever need me, don't call on me, because that is an unforgiving spirit. And here's what I've noticed. Oftentimes when a friend betrays you or deserts you for some reason, sooner or later, mark this down, they need you. So what are you to say? Well, I've been waiting for this to happen. No, that's not what you say. I knew it was going to happen. It's my turn to get them back. I'm going to show them what it's all about. No. Paul said, I'm not going to hold it against them, because it's not a godly thing to do. And think about this. In your lifetime, how many true, genuine friends do you have? And if I said, count them on both hands and all toes, you true, genuine friends, they'll stand by you thick and thin. And somebody says, well, thick and thin, when it gets too thick, we thin out. And that's exactly how some people are. That is, if things are just not like they ought to be, and you see, you got fair weather friends. Watch this. As long as you've got money, you have people who tell you they're your friend. As long as you're popular, you got friends. And as long as so many other things are true. The truth is, what about when you're just you? You see, I think about people who are very, very, very wealthy. They don't know who their friends are. I mean, they may finally find out who a few of them may be. But people who have much have to be very careful, because there's always somebody out there. The question is, what kind of friend are you? Are you the kind of friend that your friends are delighted to see you? Dedicated to you. You're dedicated to them. Reliable, trustworthy, there, whatever's going on. Or do you just keep on disappointing them? Or they keep on disappointing you? They tell you one thing and do something else. They promise one thing and do something else. They support you today, but not tomorrow. They're just like the weather. We call them fair weather friends. It just depends on the weather as to how they respond. Have you ever deserted one of your friends when they needed you, desperately needed you, and you walked off? Whatever your reason was, do you have friends who have deserted you, walked away? People that you've given to, given yourself to, prayed with, lifted up, done everything you know to do, and they walked away? So how do you respond to that? Well, That's what he tells us right in this passage, and that is, he says, don't hold it against them. That is, forgive them, no matter what.
Thank you for listening to When Others Fail Us. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.